Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to Adhikrayat. I'll be keeping you company until almost the 3 o'clock news, inshallah. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqaw qawli. Inna alhamdulillah nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'atina a'malina. We begin by praising Allah and sending blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Welcome, ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the Adhikrayat show, where we talk about how to reclaim your magic. Adhikrayat is reminders for the believers, and we also talk about how to make the right choices to create a life that you love. Subhanallah. I'm your hostess Neem, and today we're talking about Dawah. Inshallah, during the show we'll be talking to two lovely ladies, young students from the University of the Witwatersrand in Johannesburg, and they will be speaking about the Dawah work that they are doing on the university campuses. And inshallah, we'll be chatting to them more about their project called the Dawah Corner. But for now, the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And today we're speaking all about Da'wah. We know, alhamdulillah, we are the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are no prophets, Nabis coming after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this work of the Anbiya, this work of Da'wah, rests upon each one of our shoulders, young, old, male, female, children. Each one of us have been given this work of the Anbiya, subhanAllah. And being Muslim, this is our mission, that once we have tasted the sweetness of Iman, inshaAllah, this is our worry and our concern, that every single individual born on the face of this earth, that walks on the earth today, inshaAllah, will enter Jannatul Firdaus, inshaAllah. And this is our dua for ourselves and for every single person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. This was the concern of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba described Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a man that they never saw smile more than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time they saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he always had such cheerful demeanor and disposition. But when we hear the stories of Qiyamul Layl, we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wept the entire night for us, for our maghfirah, for our, you know, for us to enter the road to Jannah, inshallah. And his concern, his worry, his effort was purely for us to enter Jannah, and we should have the same concern. I love the story where Sahaba Ikram are sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a funeral procession and he stands up and he cries. Sahaba Ikram tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh Nabi of Allah, that is not one of us that have passed away." And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "This gives me all the more reason to weep, because another one is entering the fire of Jahannam." And this is the worry, this is the concern that we should have as the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, my dear mothers and sisters, we have such a great responsibility, and this responsibility of da'wah has been given to us as a ni'mat, as a blessing, as a mission. And alhamdulillah, we have to grab these opportunities, inshallah, to make these moments a moment of da'wah. And alhamdulillah, we live in a time where social media is the medium of communication, and it's so easy to give da'wah nowadays. We can give da'wah through these platforms, through the media, through the people, you know, we have staff that work for us, whether it's in our businesses or at home, the colleagues that we work with at our workplaces. So inshallah, use every moment as a moment to speak about Tawheed, to speak about the oneness of Allah. And I know recently when I was speaking to some Rivas, you know, and alhamdulillah, I speak to a lot of them, and they mentioned that, you know, before Islam came to them, it was very difficult for them to understand the concept of Tawheed. So never take this oneness of Allah as for granted, because this very concept of Tawheed is a gift and it's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the word da'wah is mentioned, we are generally talking about enjoying the good, al-ma'ruf, the Islamic monotheism, and all that Islam orders one to do, and actually forbidding the evil, the al-munkar, the polytheism, the disbelief, and all that Allah has forbidden us to do. So as Muslims, and as non-Muslims. Now, this da'wah can take a variety of forms, including directly through a conversation with someone about Islam, or indirectly through distributing a leaflet, a CD, a book about Islam through your media platforms like social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's not limited to one format or a particular group of people, but it's extremely important that we love the people that we're giving da'wah to. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted everyone to taste the sweetness of Jannah, for everyone to taste the sweetness of Iman. And you only want to give this gift of da'wah, or this, you know, this the sweetness of Iman that you are tasting, you'll only want to give it to people that you love. So it's very important for us to love everyone. Our whole deen is based on the word hope. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us to love Mount Uhud, an inanimate object, because Uhud loved us. Subhanallah, something as hard as a rock had feelings for us, and we have a heart within us, but sometimes our hearts are harder than the rock of Uhud. Subhanallah. So, you know, when we think about da'wah, it's something that we need to speak about being productive Muslims. But first, I thought it would be a good idea to take a look at some of the many benefits we can derive from taking part in giving da'wah to help boost our participation in this very great act and this very great work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon our shoulders, which was only placed before us upon the Anbiya alayhi salam. This is the honor, this is the greatness, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us as the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we don't take these opportunities because we almost feel we're not good enough. We feel da'wah is only for the ulama. We're not alimas, we don't know enough. The fact that you recite La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the fact that you recite this kalima, this is enough information, this is enough, this is your ticket to give da'wah. To spread the tawheed, to speak about the oneness of Allah. And inshallah, the more you speak about the greatness of Allah, then Allah will enter your heart. And what better speech can we speak but the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Mubarak words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which means that ilm is important. We need to understand, we need to learn, we need to, from the cradle till the grave, understand that knowledge and learning is empowerment. So to fulfill an obligation upon us, da'wah is recognized by the majority of scholars as being almost fard upon every Muslim. It's obligatory. Therefore, we can interpret that the act of da'wah is something of great importance within Islam, and more importantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, consequently, by fulfilling our fard acts, we can look to achieve the pleasure of Allah and get close to Allah. As it states in a hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorified Most High, and He says, "And my slave does not come close to me with anything more beloved to me than what I have made fard upon him. My slave continues to come nearer to me through voluntary deeds, which are the nafil acts, until I love him. And when I love him," and I love the part where the hadith says, "I become his ears, which he hears with. I become his sight, with which he sees. I become his hands, with which he strikes. I become his legs, with which he strides. And if he asks me, I shall surely grant his request." Subhanallah, what a beautiful hadith. Comes in Bukhari, hadith al-Qudsi, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly heard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This beautiful hadith highlights the massive reward of completing the fard acts that can motivate us to carry out this very important duty. Subhanallah, reading our five times salah, wearing of hijab, going on hajj, giving our zakat, this is what Allah loves, but this is what is due unto Allah. Allah owes us nothing. We owe Allah every single thing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one day in Qiyamul Layl, up to the point where his ankles are swollen. Aisha radiallahu anha asks him, "Oh Nabi of Allah, Allah has forgiven all your past, present and future sins, and yet you exert yourself in so much of prayer." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers Aisha, our beloved mother, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, so beautifully, and he says, "Oh my dear Aisha, shall I not be a grateful slave?" Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed so much gratitude and humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what Allah loves. Subhanallah, may Allah ta'ala make us emulate this beautiful quality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going back to this beautiful hadith, speaking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, He becomes the ears with which we hear, the sight with which we see, the hands with which we strike, subhanAllah, the legs with which we stride. Every single act of yours becomes an act of ibadah. SubhanAllah, when people see you, their iman is strengthened, their spirituality is heightened, they are reminded of Allah. What better friend can you get than that, than the person that reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says in the Quran that I am your best protecting friend. So we can only have two best friends, my dear mothers and sisters. I think first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our best friend, and our second best friend, are those whom remind us of our Creator, are those who remind us of Jannah. Inshallah, those are the ones that we'll be hanging on when they're pulling us into the gardens of Jannah, inshallah. So this beautiful hadith highlights the massive reward of completing the fard acts that can motivate us to carry out this important duty. You know, it's worth considering the consequences of neglecting something that is actually fard upon us. So the importance of hijab. Alhamdulillah, we do such good deeds, but we need to understand the commandments of Allah. SubhanAllah, you know, praying our five times salah, Allah doesn't need these acts from us, but we need to do these for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they've been commanded upon us. For example, we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed 5 daily prayers, and the severe consequences we may face for missing just one of those prayers. And consequently, we should give great consideration to da'wah before abandoning or even neglecting this, and therefore look to making it part of our lives in some way, some shape or some form. We also need to consider that when we are doing da'wah, we are doing the work, the job of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says in a beautiful ayat in the Quran that I have not created men and jinn except that they worship me. And the best way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to give da'wah, because there is no Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no Prophet coming after the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we look at it, the basic occupation, the work of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with all the other anbiya, was to be the best of da'is. And a da'i, we understand, is a caller to the oneness of God, to the oneness of Allah, to Islam. So for us to be given the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of the greatest man to have ever lived is a huge honor and favor given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the responsibility of continuing this work falls upon all of our shoulders, which is something worth considering. We tend to forget this because we like to brush it off and think it's only the work of the ulama, it's only the work of the learned, we don't know enough. But the little that we do know, let us make amal, let us practice upon the ilm that we do know, and inshallah, the only way we can learn is actually by teaching. And giving da'wah, we can teach somebody about Islam, and this can also be da'wah. So we should try to keep in mind of whom we are imitating by giving da'wah. Inshallah, this will inspire us to continue with this important duty by following the one who should be more beloved to us than ourselves, than our family, than anybody else, because we need to love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anyone. It is stated in a beautiful hadith, none of you will have faith till he loves me more than his father, his children, and all of mankind. And this comes in Bukhari. Just a reminder to the listeners, the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. It's always a pleasure listening and interacting with you listeners out there. Alhamdulillah, during the weekend I met many of you, so it will be nice to hear your voices again. So do give us a call. So just moving on with the da'wah and why it's so important to love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than we love anybody else. It can be easy to say, you know, I like or I love that person, but proving that affection can only be done through actions, which can involve telling others about the qualities of that person or maybe emulating the ways of that person. So, for example, as they say, you know, actions speak louder than words. So is this love for our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it just a lip service? Or do we really feel it? Is it a really real emotion that we feel within the depths of our hearts? And every time his name is mentioned and every time we read hadith, our love for him is only strengthened. When we're doing da'wah, You know, we need to be from those who are remembered in the supplication of others. So through helping someone revert to Islam or return to practicing Islam, inshallah, you will find that person being a happier individual than before. As an expression of gratitude, it is often likely that a person will personally thank you. Hopefully, they will also remember you in their du'as for being there to give them valuable advice, offer support, maybe pass on beneficial knowledge to help direct them to back to Siratul Mustaqim. And we read Surah Fatiha every single day, so many times in our salah, in all the different rakah. And in Surah Fatiha is a beautiful ayat that speaks about guiding me to the straight path, Siratul Mustaqim. We're always asking Allah to guide us back to the Siratul Mustaqim, because life throws curveballs at us continuously. We're either in a test, going through a difficult test, or coming out of a test, or getting ready for our next test. And this is the condition of the dunya. So we always ask Allah to place us onto Siratul Mustaqim and to keep us steadfast. Allah says in a beautiful ayat in the Quran, do not think you can read La ilaha illallah and you will not be tested. Dunya is all about testing ground. Allah says in the Quran, I will test you with your health, your wealth and your family. Also, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says in a hadith, Allah, His angels and all those in the heavens and on earth, even ants in their anthills and fish in the water, call down blessings on those who instruct others in beneficial knowledge. The angels, the creatures in the ocean, the creatures in the sea, they all make maghfirah dua for those that are out to acquire beneficial knowledge. So this highlights the great rewards that can be achieved through giving da'wah and passing on useful knowledge to others. Being remembered in the du'as of others is something we should all want to have, inshallah. And we should also remember others in our du'a, because it's very important for us to also make du'a for others, because the angels say Ameen. I think we have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Tasleem, how are you, my darling?
How are you, my sister?
Alhamdulillah.
Where are you calling us from?
Yes.
Where are you calling us from?
From Roshni Rukaya.
Auntie Rukaya. Welcome to the show, Sister Rukaya.
It's so lovely. It's so nice to hear your beautiful voice on air, really. It makes me feel so happy.
Exactly.
That someone so much interested in Iman and Islam and talks only about the Allah and all you that Allah has commanded us to do. I hope everybody listens to your program.
Inshallah.
It's very inspiring. And Sister Tasleem, I'd like to ask only you, will you? I have a sister who is very ill. Please make dua for her.
Mm.
Allah make it easy for her and make lots of dua for her. I pray for all the sick people, all the people that are not well in the hospitals, at home. I make dua and I make a special namaz, surakat muslim namaz, for them, that Allah Ta'ala cure them all and make it easy for all of them. And also, the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu is also in such a state that at this very moment, at this very time of our life, that although we want to help them, but the only thing we can do for them is to make dua. And may Allah accept all our duas, and may Allah accept and take all, make it easy for them also, because they are living very, very hard. And for us to see them, for us to know that they are living in that condition, we ourselves, we want to help, we want to do everything, but the only thing we can do is make dua for her, for all of them. And may Allah bless you also, Sister Tasneem, and your family.
Amen.
And may Allah bless Radio Islam team, all the Mawlana's, Salim, the Karim, the Mawl, and the team who worship. They are the most wonderful people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest places in the middle of your toes. It's my dua for everybody and for you, Sister Tasneem, and your family.
Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakallah khair for such a beautiful dua. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your sister total shifa, complete recovery and a speedy recovery, inshallah. Ameen.
Ameen, Ameen. Jazakallah khair and Allah bless you.
Ameen. May Allah bless all the listeners of Radio Islam, because without you we wouldn't be here today. Jazakallah khair.
Ameen.
JazakAllah for that beautiful call from Sister Rukeya from Roshni. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the sick complete shifa and a speedy recovery, inshallah. And I think we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Al-Dhikrayat. You are tuned in live on Medium Wave 1548 Radio Islam International, and we're coming to you live from our studios in Lanesia. Alhamdulillah, with me on the line today, I have Maliha Musa, who's chatting to us on behalf of the Dawa Corner. Maliha Musa is a fourth-year pharmacy student at the Witwatersrand University Medical School campus, and some of her hobbies are she's a passionate foodie, she's a food photographer and blogger, and she loves public speaking and is a speech enthusiast. Ahlan wa sahlan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To Maliha.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Malima Jasmeen.
Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to the show.
JazakAllah khair so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure having you back on air. I know you were with us earlier during the year. And alhamdulillah, I recall you had a hectic week last week with your Dawah mission at campus, alhamdulillah. And this is what I wanted you to share with the listeners today. So tell us a little bit about what were you guys up to on campus last week.
Okay, that's correct, Marima. Alhamdulillah, the week went very successfully through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, with Allah's mercy, we actually had an itinerary that was planned for the entire week. So Monday was a public holiday. It was the heritage day. And then thereafter, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we had our itinerary spread across the different campuses of it. So we had a few programs on the medical campus. Okay. We had some on education campus as well as the main campus.
Okay, so this was your Islam Awareness Week, am I right? And you normally run it every year from September, some 1 week in September.
This is what we're trying to do from this year, to try and make it an annual initiative. But so far this year has been, I think, the first time where all BITS campuses have worked together to actually have an Islamic Awareness Week.
MashaAllah, that's great. From what I understand, this year it was between the September 25th until the 28th of September. And your theme was Women in Islam, am I right?
Gee, that's correct.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about some of the activities that you guys planned during the week.
Okay. So, alhamdulillah, we, like I said, Monday was the public holiday, and then Tuesday, actually, we had like a little table outside the library on education campus, and we still kept our main objective in focus being women in Islam and the status of women in Islam as well, because we realized that by using this topic, it sort of was a gateway to explain everything about Islam. So bringing in the aspect of modesty, bringing in the aspect of iman, bringing the aspect of the Quran as well. So some of the activities we had actually was, number one, like we did the last time on medical campus, was where we actually had an activity where the passerbys would actually listen to verses of the Quran with some headphones. And then a second activity we had was that where they could have tried on the hijab and, you know, experienced the true essence of how it actually feels to wear the hijab. Like, I mean, they see everyone wearing the hijab on campus, but I feel like this really was an opportunity for them, a first-hand opportunity for them to try it on themselves and experience it. And then we had some fun activities, so where they actually, on our Instagram page, we created a hashtag, Islamic Awareness Week. And from this, they actually took pictures of themselves in the hijab, and they posed with Instagram logo and Instagram board of our page. And then we asked them to post this on social media and tag us as well, so they could actually stand a chance to win a prize.
Wow, that's amazing. Sister Maliha, what motivates you to do the volunteer work at the university campus, and why do you think it's important to have it at that level with those that community and that sector of our community?
Most definitely. So I believe that, alhamdulillah, you know, we have been blessed with the religion of Islam, with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we just take it for granted that we have been given this ni'mah, that we feel that there's no need to spread it to our brothers and sisters out there. But alhamdulillah, being put by Allah in such an environment, such a social environment, where we get to experience and contact, you know, firsthand with so many people of so many different faiths at campus, I feel like they have so many burning questions about Islam that no one actually gives them that opportunity to ask them, or maybe, you know, try and educate them about. So I believe that, you know, the minute we learn something, alhamdulillah, Allah teaches us, it becomes our duty to pass that on to our brothers and sisters.
MashaAllah, and I think you're giving them that open opportunity to now come up and speak and ask you that questions without feeling threatened or embarrassed to ask. Maybe they might think it's a silly question, but in actual fact, it's a very important question. So alhamdulillah, I think it's a brilliant platform that you guys have now created in terms of a safe space, a non-judgmental space where Muslims and non-Muslims can come up to the da'wah table and actually ask things that might sound a bit silly in their heads, but actually get to verbalize it and get the correct answer, inshallah.
Most definitely. Inshallah, Allah accept this.
Ameen. And Allah accept all the work you guys are doing. That's phenomenal. I mean, we were just talking about giving da'wah, you know, before the break. And I think human beings are so unique. And, you know, many of us volunteer to fulfill different needs. Sometimes, what motivates us can be different. Sometimes it's purely altruistic. Or other times it's just, you know, a combination of everything. So volunteer work may be done for joy or fulfillment of one's experiences when helping others, because, you know, just being in this field of volunteer work gives you such a sense of fulfillment and joy that I think nothing monetary or dunya can ever give you, subhanAllah.
Definitely. And like how Appa explained earlier, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we should love for ourselves what we love for our brothers and sisters. So I mean, we all love our deen, we all appreciate the ni'mah that Allah has given us. So why show this to our brothers and sisters out there and welcome back them into the fold of Islam?
Alhamdulillah. And I can also hear from your, just from the little that we spoke the last time, also the spiritual fulfillment and the rewards and benefits that were reaped after doing such events. You know, simple acts that bring the communities together, that bring people on campus together. And Allah has blessed us with so much of knowledge, but that we take for granted, and it only becomes evident once we share this knowledge. I always say the best way to learn something is to actually teach it. And I think by giving da'wah, we're actually teaching people about Allah, about Allah's magnificence, and speaking about Allah's greatness. And this is how the understanding of deen actually enters our own hearts. So I always believe that whenever we're giving da'wah, we're always giving da'wah to ourselves first.
Definitely, I really have felt this, alhamdulillah, where Allah has taught us that in order to be able to teach other people, you need to be equipped with the correct knowledge, especially when making parallels with the Quran and the Bible. It has actually like made me want to learn more about the Bible and learn more about the Quran and try and show the other people in the campuses what's the true message of Islam.
Wow, that's amazing. And just speaking on that topic, I mean, what are some of your experiences and what have you gained from it on a personal level?
Okay, so alhamdulillah, on a personal level, I have been meeting lots of people with the grace of Allah and just listening to their stories about what they feel about Islam. And I've met this one girl on education campus. It was on the first day of our Islamic Awareness Week. And mashallah, she just taught me so much. Like, I thought I would be there standing at the table teaching people about Islam, but mashallah, she's a Christian and she taught me so much about my own deen. I was absolutely astonished. So she was telling me that her uncle actually is a Muslim and she is a Christian, but she goes to madrasa every single day. She knows all the laws about fiqh, everything about Islam, and she was relating to me one of the benefits of Islam. So I asked her, what do you think about Islam? And she actually told me she finds that it's so peaceful, it's so fulfilling, even though she hasn't become Muslim, just being in that environment has made her want to become Muslim. And she actually told me that you know, comparing Islam to her African tradition, not even just Christianity, but she told me the concept of lobola in the African tradition actually makes getting married so difficult for people. And she explained that people actually sometimes end up having children out of marriage because of that. And she told me, do you know what I love about Islam? I love, and she knew the mahar, she knew every term. Wow. She was telling me, I love that you don't need to pay large sums of money. I love that even you can give a date to your wife and marry your wife.
Mashallah.
You know, I love the simplicity of Islam.
Alhamdulillah. I think deen is so simple. We just complicate matters. I know whenever I'm speaking to non-Muslims, they really got smacked when I explain to them how simple our funeral procedures are, because I know for non-Muslims, an extremely exorbitant amount of funds that go into their funerals.
Most definitely. And I've always heard people say, Islam is not difficult. Allah has given it to you and it's easy. It's how we, you know, practice Islam.
Alhamdulillah.
So Allah made it so easy for us. And literally Islam teaches us how to do everything, how to eat, how to sleep, how to, you know, have relations with your families. Islam.
Inshallah, I think we've lost Sister Malia, but we will be back after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and we are back with Sister Maliha from the Da'wah Corner from the University of the Witwatersrand Medical School campus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maliha.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sorry about that small hiccup. I think we dropped the line by mistake, but welcome back to the show. I think we're just going to wrap up with you, and then we're going to be chatting to Sister Iman. But just in closing, what would you like to say to the listeners?
Okay, just in closing, I would like to use this opportunity, inshallah, as a springboard to urge all our fellow listeners out there throughout the world, all of our students at every campus, every university, every college, to inshallah seize the moment and seize the opportunity. Inshallah, every encounter that we have with every single person that we can, it may be our friend, it may be our colleague, it may be our neighbor, it may be even our domestic workers, I would just like to urge everybody, inshallah, to seize the opportunity and educate these precious people about Islam. I would like you to, inshallah, to, you know, make, you know, it's so amazing that we say La ilaha illallah on the inside, and what on the outside is Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, just try, you know, to relate every ounce of goodness in us to the religion of Islam, and wherever we can, whatever we can do, even spreading something so small as salam and explaining to people, you know, the reasoning behind why we say such words, inshallah, can be such a beautiful gateway for da'wah. So inshallah, we really shouldn't be shy or apologetic about approaching any person. You know, it's our duty to actually spread the deen of Allah, and inshallah receive, if not someone accepts Islam, it will definitely spread to another part of the world, and nothing will go in vain.
May Allah accept all your beautiful intentions, Sister Malia. It's always such a pleasure having you on the show, and every time you ladies are on my show, I learn so much, and I love what you said about having La ilaha illallah on the inside and then showing Muhammadur Rasulullah in the actions that we do. SubhanAllah, that was beautiful. I learned so much from you, lovely ladies. And if this is the state of our youth, then inshallah, our future is in good hands, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you all from strength to strength, inshallah. Jazakallah so much for joining us today.
Ameen. Wa antum fa jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Next up we have Sister Iman, also from the Da'wah Corner, joining us on air. Sister Iman is a phenomenal young lady. Also, just like Sister Maliha, she enjoys swimming, spending time with her family. She loves cooking, baking, listening to Quran, playing with the babies and children, and spending lots of time with the elderly. SubhanAllah. I think everything she just mentioned mentioned in her hobbies, it has to do with the sunnah, mashallah. She also has a passion for helping people in any way that she can. Anything to do with da'wah, with Islam, whether it's ta'alim or jamaat or halakha, her passion is for the medical field, alhamdulillah, and she's very passionate about pharmacy and passionate about women empowerment, subhanallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Iman.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Afa Tasneem, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to today's show. And we're speaking all about da'wah in the da'wah corner and all the phenomenal, amazing da'wah work you guys are doing at the University of Witwatersrand in Johannesburg.
Alhamdulillah, Ji, may God Allah accept, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. So I was just chatting to your colleague, Sister Maliha, and she was telling us about some of the activities. Maybe you can just mention a little bit more about what else you guys were up to during that very busy week last week.
Gee, inshallah, I would love to. I remember, alhamdulillah, in the beginning it was quite difficult and quite stressful to organize everything because this was much bigger than the usual events that we had. Like, usually it's just at campus and, like, at the medical school campus only. But now, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that we were able to join with the main campus, Dawah Corner, so we were able to reach a bigger audience, alhamdulillah. And honestly, but the turnout was so amazing. It was absolutely incredible. Alhamdulillah, one of the days then Sheikh Basuni was able to come, and then we had a hijab day. I'm not sure if Maliha mentioned that one. We had a hijab day on the Thursday. Subhanallah, we had, alhamdulillah, on the Friday we had an open day for the Jamaat Khana at main campus. Mm-hmm. So everybody was able to come to the Jamaat Khana, whether they were non-Muslim, whether they were Muslim. Alhamdulillah, we set up outside. We had Sheikh Salama as giving the khutbah. And alhamdulillah, we had two beautiful ladies that came with us, non-Muslim ladies, that came with us into the Jamaat Khana. And then they were wearing skirt. They wore like the burqa and the skirt, and they made salah, subhanallah, and they made jumu'ah salah with us. And then we even taught them how to make wudu. So alhamdulillah, it was really a riveting experience. Oh. I promise you, when it came to the end of the week, we were so sad. All of us were so sad because we actually didn't even want it to end. We weren't actually sure what the turnout would be like. Mm-hmm. So we started on med campus. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday we were on med campus. And okay, alhamdulillah, so many people came up. It was incredible. So many people came to learn about Islam. So many people, we heard that, like, we're actually, once again, they were interested in Islam. So many people were giving savories and sponsors and so many things. Alhamdulillah, we had so much of support. Initially, it was very stressful, but afterwards, I promise you, it was just heartwarming. Like, we were so sad that the week was ending. We can't wait for the next event, inshallah.
And I think it's so lovely for the listeners to hear all of the activities that were taking place at the universities, because many parents are very weary when they're sending their children to these institutions, thinking, you know, about all the other horror stories that we hear. So alhamdulillah, this, as a parent listening in, it would give us so much more hope to think that, you know, our children can get involved in these activities, in da'wah activities, in humanitarian activities. And alhamdulillah, the way you're explaining it, it sounds like it was such a fun week of showcasing Islam in such a lovely way, mashallah, that is so inviting to everyone and appeals to so many different people, subhanallah. And it really makes me think about the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh, mashallah, may Allah only take you from strength to strength. And I know this type of work doesn't only start with one person, it's a whole team effort. And alhamdulillah, you know, to sustain your volunteers and to keep them going, alhamdulillah, may Allah only take you from strength to strength, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, thumma ameen. We just need the du'as, and we want to make du'a, and we ask everybody, even the listeners, to make du'a, inshallah, that Allah accept our broken efforts.
Ameen,
even
ameen.
During the week, we were telling everybody that one of the main aims that we had was the da'wah table. as a whole, and even especially with this Islamic week, is that we want to unite everyone, because mm-hmm. we have so many different cultures, so many different religions on campus, and there's so many misconceptions once again that came up. I wear niqab at campus. A lot of people were asking me once again, so many people thought that I'm wearing the niqab because I'm married, and you know, so many misconceptions, and inshallah, we just really want to get the word out there that Islam is really a religion of peace. So many people don't even know who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, you know, and this is our Nabi, it is our work, so that is our main aim, inshallah. So please make lots of dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite all of us so that we can stand up. My one friend, mashallah, is Khadija, sister Khadija. She made such a beautiful point. She said that if we start very small, and she was teaching the people this at the dawah table, at the Islamic week as well, she said that if we start small, and maybe we're able to educate people here in South Africa about why we wear the niqab, why we wear the hijab. One day if we have to like have a march maybe for the bans of the niqab worldwide, then so many people will stand with us that maybe are non-Muslim even. So inshallah, really, hidayah is linked to qurbani. So inshallah, even if, and we believe that even if a person doesn't take shahada right there and then where we're standing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the winds of hidayah blow somewhere else, inshallah.
Ameen. Allah accepts all your intentions, Ameen. Inshallah. Ameen. And I love the vision. You know, it just brings me to the story of Ta'if. And whenever Muslims hear the story of Ta'if, we become so emotional, because that was our Nabi, you know, emotionally wounded, physically wounded, up to the point where his sandals were stuck to his feet because of the blood. SubhanAllah. But look at the vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that sadness, in that moment of sadness, all he could think about was the angel came down and Allah commanded the angel to destroy the people of Ta'if. But in that moment, the vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, maybe someone from their progeny will recite kalima one day, subhanAllah. And because of that person that went there, and the Sahaba went to the subcontinent of India, this is why we are sitting here with kalima today in our hearts.
Just imagine, exactly, with the sacrifices of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, so many people agreed with us, subhanallah. Like, even the non-Muslims, they were saying, you know what, that we have so much freedom in this country, alhamdulillah. Like, we can practice whichever religion we want. Mm-hmm. We can go to whichever place we want. We have the opportunity, alhamdulillah, that's only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to actually go to campus. So why are we not using it in a way that is beneficial for our akhirah as well? We can have both, inshallah, the dunya where we're studying for our degrees, as well as the akhirah. And alhamdulillah, like I'm saying, people were so inviting to they were so excited. We had people that would come, like the one day, subhanAllah, and then they're like, okay, definitely, please tell us where's your next venue the next day. We have to come. We just want to see you guys. We just have to come. And then they come, subhanAllah, and after we explain something to them, Allah makes it such that they're able to explain it to their friends.
Mashallah.
And then they actually understood. And the hijab was really a big thing, subhanAllah. That, you know, oh, subhanAllah, this reminds me of one incident where this girl, we were putting on a scarf for her, right? Mm-hmm. So we put on the niqab, actually. We put on the niqab for her, and then she was wearing it, subhanAllah. And then afterwards, obviously, she had to take it off. Mm-hmm. And when she took it off, subhanAllah, she said, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm not clothed enough. I feel like I'm naked. And she zipped up her jacket. And all of us just stood there and in awe of her. We were like, wow, subhanAllah, look at the nur that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in a simple act. So inshallah, all the people also that came to the dawah table, and whoever wasn't able to make it, we just make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them hidayah. And us first.
Allah accept all the wonderful work that you sisters and brothers are doing out there on campus. MashaAllah. Jazakallah so much, Sister Iman. Unfortunately, we could chat the whole day about your wonderful activities at the universities. Inshallah, looking forward to another year of amazing activities. I'm sure you already started to plan and everything's in the pipeline. So all the best with that, and all the best to your team. And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you all from strength to strength, inshallah.
Allahumma ameen, thumma ameen. Jazakallah khair for the opportunity. May Allah bless you and your family and everybody at Radio Islam as well, inshallah.
Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, that was Sister Iman, and just before that was Sister Malia talking to us from the Da'wah table at University of Witwatersrand, Johannesburg, and mainly based on medical campuses. Both of them are studying in the medical field, MashaAllah, so both in the field of humanitarian work, MashaAllah, and giving back to community, but with a Da'wah frame, MashaAllah. I think inviting people to Islam is a source of unlimited goodness, SubhanAllah. For each person you invite to Islam, you will get the same rewards for her, his prayer, worship, and even when this person teaches others, inshallah, the reward will be with you. So what a great blessing Allah bestows upon those who engage in da'wah work. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a beautiful hadith, whoever calls to guidance will have a reward similar to that of those who follow it, without the reward of either of them being lessened at all. And this comes in Sahih Muslim, subhanallah. So the reward Allah has in store for those who invite others to Islam is far better than all the enjoyments of the present world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding and make us all da'is of this wonderful word of Tawheed, and make us understand who Allah is so we can go out and spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That brings me to the end of the show, and from me and my engineer, fi amanillah, until we meet again next week, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.